I have a couple of news things if you want, like if we run out of time, or okay. if we need, or not run out of time, but if we have some stuff that we want to talk about.
Cool.
I did have this awesome Garen versus Nidalee fight this week.
Oh!
I don't know if you heard, but I got called out on Facebook.
I know, I didn't understand, what? Like, I saw that, like, the day
so
after that.
We were playing League of Legends, yeah. You know? And so, like, on Facebook, I get this message last week of, all right, karate, Garen versus Nidalee, I'm taking you down on Monday.
It was so not like
from
that.
From Ashley.
Have you ever seen him play
It was
Garen?
Monday. No, Nidalee versus Garen, 1v1, yeah, you're on.
It,
okay?
It was like, it is actually
totally not that pompous
to be over his shoulder and just watch him play. Like, just listening to him, like, counting. He never looks at the numbers. He knows all of his skills and their cooldowns. Wow.
It's just that one character.
Two, three. You know? And then he says something and you're just like, boom! And the guy just...
And so I got called out on Monday. It was a pretty close fight, I think, right?
Yeah, shut up.
Was it pretty close?
I thought it was pretty close.
It was pretty close. I think you only...
Because her handicap was 10, right?
So you won.
Yeah, you totally won.
You won by two.
I hate you. It was 0-8. If everyone wants to know, okay, someday I will be this Garen.
I wanted
but
to record
I will say that,
one that
I owned his face, ADC versus ADC.
I just had to mention that. It was just,
you know what we need to do. I mean, this is serious. I mean, we committed a while ago not to talk about League on the podcast because it just turns into a League podcast.
We
need to have a session
update.
Called... See if you can beat Karate's Garen.
Oh my gosh! No,
and do like live stream.
I'd get destroyed.
Are you kidding me? That would be so fun.
There are some really good people, you know, like.
Oh, that would be so hilarious, though. Just,
well,
like,
I felt a little bad for Christian right after that, though.
Oh my god!
Because we did it, and like, Christian picked Kale, and normally Kale whips my butt, but I've been practicing. Ashley's been helping me out.
Yeah.
And I beat him like pretty bad.
See, like, just like, well, he learned how to counter Carol because I played her several different ways and he figured it out.
Have you been ranked? Are you ranked?
I was before they redid it.
Oh, you haven't.
And I haven't gone back and finished.
I'm curious to see where you are.
But the one-on-one thing is just one-on-ones. Like,
no,
that's, I wish there, you know, here's the thing for Riot. Make a 1v1 mode. Where that's it.
Yeah.
You know, just a single lane, 1v1.
Tarik versus Quinn,
well,
let's go.
What's funny is they have the map for it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it'd be great. You could totally do it. But that'd be fun. I think that'd be a, like, I don't know how popular it'd be, but it'd be, okay, fine, we'll do a 1v1. You do only custom matches, too. Just like, it's a custom match only, you set it up.
Well, I mean,
you
that's want, ARAM, right?
I mean, well, ARAM is 5v5, yeah. You know,
yeah,
so,
but you could easily just set it up to be a 1v1.
Yeah, and people do it. So that'd be fun.
We should try that.
Anyway,
we should just start creating matches and try to own people's faces.
Someday I will be
YouTube
Brandon.
Series.
Okay.
Someday.
Okay.
Anyways.
Okay.
Quit being so smug.
I wouldn't had I not been called out in public.
Yeah, I was curious about
so
that.
Hard.
I you know, like, E for effort, but why'd you call him out on Facebook?
I don't know.
It didn't work very well.
Have to respond. Okay. Anyway. All right.
You do it.
I do it? Oh, do I get to host? I get to host.
You're a freaking show.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, welcome to Confessions of a Game Dev podcast. I am here. I'm Brandon Karate. I'm here with an illustrious panel of individuals.
Yay.
Nice work.
Spencer Buchanan is here. And
Ashley McMillan.
Oh. And our special guest today.
Rachel Laker.
Woo-hoo!
Woo!
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I've never... How long have I known you? Like a year? And
yeah.
I've never connected. Like, I always see your name in emails, but I've never... Like her. Oh, I totally like her! I cannot believe I've... Like,
my
I know
God.
I know that is such a lame joke, and I'm...
You're totally the first person to ever
no,
say
no,
that
no,
to
no,
me.
No, like, I realize I'm not, but it's just like, I can't believe I've known you for this long, and I never got around to realizing that joke.
It's all right, man.
Next year is going to come up with another one, though. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Just be ready.
Oh, no! Her other one... I've been dying to do this because we've been wanting her on the show for a long time, is to go, Rachel!
No!
Every time when we first, when she was first in the office, we always just did the Christian Bale Rachel, and I'm surprised she's put up
link to follow.
No, yeah. It's so great. Yeah, we'll put a link up for that. That's from How It Should Have Ended, guys, I think.
Great. Oh, yes.
I love that video. Ugh. Anyway, it's okay.
Well, doesn't Christian Bale do a Rachel like that?
Well, he says Rachel so many times.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's Rachel. Obviously funniest on How It Should Have Ended.
But Rachel, Alfred.
Where is she?
It's distracting as hell when you watch the movie.
Best detective ever. Where's the bomb?
Slap.
Where are they?
Where are the drugs?
Where are the drugs going?
Where are my pants?
That was a third one. Don't know spoilers.
Oh, sorry.
We're a spoiler-free podcast.
Yeah, right.
Unless it's me.
You mean a free spoiler podcast? Hey, Christian.
You want to come in?
Welcome in.
I was, but
hop in, dude.
Full.
No, hop in.
We got a seat.
Yeah. We'll make a choice, Dan.
It's going to be exciting. Okay, so Christian Munoz.
Just walked in the door.
I said it right this time.
Barely.
Hey.
Nailed it. Yeah, Christian Munoz just walked in the door.
Just walked in. He came to join us. So. Well, today, so Rachel, she's going to talk a little bit about what she does, who she is, and why we wanted
why
her on
she's
the podcast.
So cool.
And why she's so cool.
Yeah.
Why you want a podcast.
Why we wanted you on the podcast.
Oh. I don't know those things.
I don't know either. I was hoping you'd figure it out for us. So Bob himself has just given us his blessing in Bob's memorial fart booth.
Oh, you don't know that.
God. This is Bob's memorial fart booth.
We have to edit that out.
No, we've already said it like six times in the
book. Oh,
yeah,
God.
She can't be part of that.
Oh, that's
though.
Right.
Yeah, we can
say it. Hey, I didn't say it, so it's fine.
Okay.
This is actually not representative of the University of Utah in any way. Since I'm an employee, I have to say that disclaimer. So.
Yeah.
we'll have you say stuff, and you can leave before we say anything bad.
We'll just say.
No, since I said that little phrase, we're good.
Okay.
Legal disclaimer.
You might actually want to put that at the beginning of your podcast. I'm just saying.
That sounds like a great intro.
Just in case your viewership goes up to 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
6.
President of the university.
I'm sure he's awesome.
I heard this part. Oh, my gosh. Anyway.
So you just spilled the beans.
Oh, that I'm an employee.
Your employee. What do you do at the University of Utah?
I am the program assistant / graphic designer for the EAE MGS program.
Awesome. So most of us are in that program.
Most of us in the room,
but like Trent's not, and other guests that we've had aren't. I mean, so let's give us your 2-minute sell out on EAE.
Sell out or pitch?
Or give us your pitch. We're selling out. We brought in the EAE. They're sponsoring us.
No, guess, they're not.
Well, they kind of are. I mean, this
we're
is their
providing
booth.
The space.
Yeah,
we're providing
there you
the
go.
Space for recording. So, you know.
They're donating it because they're not responsible at all. So, not sponsoring, but they're allowing us to use the space.
So, not only do we have state of the art sound technology to provide exquisite facilities for world class podcasts.
World class.
World class.
I'm putting that on the website.
which is hard because. The only review we have on iTunes for our podcast is it's a really great podcast. Just be aware that the audio technical is really, really bad.
That's because we were recording on Trent's phone.
We were recording on Trent's phone. It's hopefully improved a little bit since then. But
well, I guess the listeners will be the judge of that.
Yeah.
All the iTunes reviewers. Yeah. Okay, so here's my 2-minute pitch for the program. We are currently the number one undergraduate program in the nation among public universities. Yeah, wow. We beat out like MIT and USC
That's awesome.
That fun stuff. And we're one of the top-ranked graduate programs in the nation right now. Yeah, basically when you come to the University of Utah for your graduate program anyway, you are dumped in a simulated studio environment, basically, where we kind of just mix you guys all up together. There's no siloing within our program. The engineers work with the artists work with the engineers, and the producers just wreak havoc on everybody.
Yeah.
So...
It depends.
No, it does not depend.
That's
come on.
It happens all
don't
the time,
justify though. Your experience.
Come on now. Everyone gave him the credit.
Oh, nice.
Right.
That was a fun one.
Oh, my God.
For what? Credit for what?
So he made, like, 2 buildings.
Hey, I slaved away at those buildings.
He slaved away at those 2 buildings. No, he took apart one of my buildings to make his buildings. But everyone commented on how beautiful his buildings were, even though I made everything else.
As we know, producers take things and make them better.
Or it's like when a 2-year-old comes home with a drawing. No. You go, oh, honey, that's awesome. That's a really good drawing.
Yeah, but you tell me which one ended up on the fridge. That's all I'm saying.
So, I'm just going to take those out now. I'm going to build my own buildings.
Whoa, those are almost as good as the old ones.
Oh.
Anyway, sorry, keep going.
Yeah, whatever.
Back to Rachel and less bickering between the married couple here.
Oh, my gosh.
Good heavens, you two.
And see, this is the kind of relationship you can look forward to in the program between producers and artists.
Like a bickering old married couple.
But that's the beauty of our program. Instead of bickering amongst yourselves, you get to bicker among, you know, people with different skill sets. So it's really a beautiful thing.
It's like working in the industry already.
That's pretty much what we're going for, you know. So when you actually get a job, which you will get a job after our program, we have about, let's see, 100% job placement rate right now.
Not too bad.
And I'm not joking about that at all. Yeah. What, Spencer?
Awesome. We're not graduated yet.
I know. Exactly. I'm just like, yeah, well, I'm going to be that 1% over here because I'm...
Look at a job. McDonald's is always...
Oh! Hey-o. Spencer is the 1%.
When you're looking for the job, it doesn't feel as hopeful as that. But just keep reminding me that 100% because I need it some days. So. Yeah. Anyways.
But anyway, so we prepare you not just for the workforce, but for a studio environment. And basically all the people that have hired our students, that goes from local studios to people across the country and maybe even... No, we haven't had any internationals yet, but we're getting there, that they appreciate how easy it is for our students to integrate within their studios. They just, our kids know how to work with people and what it means to be on teams, and that's a really important thing for getting a job. So I think that my 2 minutes is up.
Rock
but
on.
I can talk about it more if you want.
No, absolutely. You're welcome to talk whenever you want.
So our admissions deadline's coming up, March 31st. That's for everybody. Go to our website, eae.utah.edu, and click on the admissions link. Basically, you go through a process where you tell us your name, your address, all kinds of fun stuff. And then if you're an artist, we need a portfolio from you, figure drawing, 2D, any animation you have, though it's not required. We want to see solid art skills, really good foundational sort of things, color theory, figure drawing, stuff like that. For the production track, we want to see really strong writing skills. And for the engineering track, send us a code sample. So those are basically what you need to do to come and see us and have a 3.0 grade point average and not be a weirdo. So
for the engineers, if you just hack the system and put your name on the list, you're in, right?
Yeah. I dare say, if you can get in, if you can get in, go for it. I'm in no way advocating you hack the university system, but I feel like it's something that it's always useful for them to know. So just don't hack our website, please.
That took a lot of time.
Because that would make me sad.
our website's pretty bummer lately.
It's going to be cooler.
Oh, what are you doing now?
Oh, just updating it for GDC.
Okay.
Very cool. So.
Which, are we going to be represented at GDC?
Of course.
Awesome.
We're going to be there. Actually, instead of being at the educational summit and having a booth there, we are going to be at the expo with the state of Utah. So come by and see our booth. We'll have every single game ever that we've produced, and we'll have lots of swag, and we'll have some cool people for you to talk to, like, I don't know, some people in this room. And
I haven't seen the swag you guys are going to do, because last year we had the coolest flashlight pens that project.
Oh, we're getting more of those.
The best.
Oh, awesome.
And we actually did multiple Space Invader guys, so we can actually do, like, the lines and stuff. It's going to be rad.
Oh, you got it.
Plus, and this is, I guess it's not a secret since I'm telling it on a podcast right now, but we're doing big pixelated foam number one fingers.
Ooh, awesome.
So,
are you serious?
Yeah. Hey. They're right. I found a vendor.
Don't worry. Our listeners are telling
me. I love it.
They can keep a secret.
Well, we're still number one regardless, so. But those will be a big hit, I think.
That's
plus,
awesome.
So we'll have some other treats and goodies for everybody. And, yeah, just come by and see us. It'll be really, really
cool.
A sweet event, I think.
I will have to say, last year there was quite a few interesting swag things. And there's obviously a lot of pens.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that I was a flashlight, those things will make
We had so yeah. many like people come by.
So We've cool. gone through 1,000 in like 6 months.
Wow.
So since we ordered them for last year's GDC, they ran out in like November, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So
reordered some more.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Good.
Big hit.
That's pretty awesome.
I'm excited. I cannot wait for this GDC.
2 weeks, man.
So.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
It's
going
to be fun.
Let's see. Do you have anything else to say?
Go to our website, eae.utah.edu.
Nice.
Okay.
And we're on Facebook and Twitter. So.
And we'll definitely link to that in the podcast, too.
Sweet.
Yes. So I wanted to do some follow-up, and with Rachel's background in graphic design, I wanted to get her input on the goings-ons, and we're not going to critique anything directly. We'll discuss, I guess, what happened. So two interesting things happened with the EAE program, within the program. So Cohort 3, we talked about last week, the four games. Two of them got cut, Vinyl and...
No, Vinyl and Close Hander are still here.
Yeah, I was going to say Vinyl, and the other one stayed.
Rovers and...
Rover was cut, and...
Ludology,
which, personally, I was totally bummed on.
That is a little disappointing, unfortunately.
Well, it doesn't mean it's dead in the water. I mean, if they wanted to, they could still...
Sure, they could do it.
Do something
but it's just,
it,
but like, it...
For thesis and stuff.
It was a really cool idea.
So. Yeah, it really was. And so, last year when they cut for us, they said, okay, this game's cut, and you're moving to this team. This time they said, these games are cut, go find a team, you choose where you want to go.
That's been the general theme for this whole...
For that group,
for
isn't
this
it?
Whole semester,
yeah.
Is they've been choosing their teams, they've been choosing their games, and it's been a really interesting experiment in how to roll the thesis projects.
It feels like it's worked out pretty well for them.
I think so. Yeah.
And I
think so.
Like, I get the sense that they did it the way it's going to happen in a AAA studio. It's like, you don't really get a say on who you work with, what you work on. You're needed here, go. Mm-hmm. You know? And they're doing it differently that time. I don't have a lot of experience, or none, in AAA studios, but I get the sense that that's what it's going to be like, right? And so maybe they're giving them a more organic feel or a smaller studio.
Well, this
feel.
Is school, you know.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. while we do sort of make a, it's as much of like a studio as we can.
Right.
It, you know, you're still in school. It's still kind of all about the process and all that fun stuff. So I think a lot of it came from that.
Yeah. And sure. it's exciting. Like, in some ways, I go, I wish they would have done that with us because it sounds cooler than what we had to do. With
you guys are a little unique.
Yeah.
Since you're the second cohort ever.
Yeah. And they, you know, and I get the sense that they're growing as well and trying to figure out, and they're, you know, they're obviously doing postmortems just as much as we are on each of our projects, and they go, okay, definitely. That didn't work. We're not going to do that again.
But it feels like an organic process that's grown well. Like, because we were reaction from the first cohort, and their reaction from us. And I think, you know, as the master's program goes on, I think it'll just continue. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, that worked. This didn't work. Let's assemble the puzzle a little differently.
It's almost like a development house should work.
Kind of.
Whoa, it's crazy.
Troy.
Oh, Troy. Okay, so hi. So Troy Johnson just walked in the door.
Should we talk about Cohort 3 a little bit more, or should we introduce Troy?
No, keep going. You can segue into it later.
All right, we'll segue into Troy, because you're one of the...
Yes, please.
We're going to segue into Troy. Oh.
Sorry.
Have a good night,
folks.
Yeah. I got nothing. Troy. Stop writing that. Do you need to remind them that you're not affiliated with you on this?
Also, I'm not affiliated with you or segueing into Troy.
Neither is Troy.
I may segue into Troy later.
I hate segues, by the way. I just want you to know that. not the scooters. Those are really cool. No, okay. So, they're scooters.
Just really moving on.
Anyways, so with Cohort 3, the professionals, you know, they had a literal panel that they each got to, after all the questions, they each said a couple things of their concerns with the game or things that need to be addressed. And then afterwards, I guess one of them told me that they got a list from the professionals of all the, you know, a big accumulation of all the feedback that they got. And some of it was really harsh, they said. And some of it, I don't know if it was a personal attack, but they claimed it was a personal attack. And it doesn't matter. Like, it really doesn't matter, but they obviously, there were some emotions tied up in that feedback, right? And I that's the point I wanted to ask about and talk to everyone about in this. And then, lead into discussing with Troy on his reaction with Dodos, which was the other thing that I wanted to mention, is how do you deal with that feedback? What does that mean when you get it? What do you do with it? Kind of stuff. Let's introduce Troy real quick, and then we'll get back to that question, and we'll talk about what you're working on.
Troy, who are you?
Who are you?
Troy is a producer in the Master Game Studio as well, hopefully graduating in like a month and a half or whatever it is now. If I can write my dang companion thesis paper.
Dude, I think everyone's in the same boat with you.
We should do a writing jam instead of a game jam.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Just all write in 24 hours.
What are you writing? Oh, okay. What did you write about next? Oh, okay.
Well, that's a really good point.
We seem to be really good if we just do a big burst of 24 hours of work.
Oh my gosh.
Let's just do that.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's probably going to be horrible. It's going to be a personal game jam, personal thesis jam this weekend for that. But so yeah, I'm producer like as far as my track is concerned, and then on several of the projects I've also been designer and things like that, and then random figure stuff out guy whenever I feel useless that my producer stuff isn't enough on the other projects like sound and animation and whatever.
What are cool things you've done in the past, worked on?
I have been an editor for a independent local comic book that's been produced over the past several years. Finally coming to fruition, actually, just over these past few months. Issues 1 and 2 are out digitally.
Saw one, and it's awesome.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's called Elders of the Runestone. So go to runestonecomic.com and you can find out all the information about that and you can find out where to find it.
Spoiler alert, it has nothing to do with anything medieval. True. Like, I had heard about Elders of the Runestone for like 2 years from Troy, and I was like, really, another fantasy medieval thing? No, it's like totally modern cities, superheroes. It's awesome. It's really cool.
Thanks, Spencer. It is. It's been really fun to be a part of that. So I've been working on a couple side project games actually based on that as well. And then just done like web design stuff and I'm always looking for just fun new game challenges to work on. One of them is a board game that I'm working on right now, and anyway, just having fun with all these guys.
Yeah.
It's the best.
We're cool.
Very cool.
Okay, so let's talk about your thesis game.
Last March of the Dotas.
We've represented the other two fairly well on the podcast with members, but tell us about Last March of the Dotos and what happened this week. What did you guys do this week?
So Last March of the Dotos is one of the three thesis games that our cohort is producing. It's kind of a tower defense modified, and it's kind of based on the idea of being the anti-lemmings. You're trying to kill streams of dodos rather than figure out how to save them as you would in Lemmings. So this week we actually submitted it to Steam Greenlight, which is Valve's newish, it's several months old now, but this program where they kind of leave it up to the community what games move forward and actually end up on the Steam service. So it was designed to be this kind of platform where, you know, community could drive forward the types of games that they would, you know, as a collective want to see on that platform, you know, so that they wouldn't just fill it up with stuff that people wouldn't buy or that not enough people would be interested or that sort of thing. So it's really community driven and it's all pretty much based on popular vote once those concepts are submitted. And to my knowledge, nobody other than the guys at Valve really know kind of the special, formula for which of these submissions actually become greenlit. And actually move forward and you know, Valve gives them the source SDK or whatever, I guess, SDK it is that you need to drop into your game to actually get it to work on the Steam service. So we submitted this week, and it's been really interesting to see what the community comments have been. I'm doing hand motions in the booth, even though you guys can't see.
I have a favorite comment, by the way.
You're not.
So it's been really interesting. What's your favorite comment?
So my favorite
so far?
Comment of theirs is they say that Last March of the Dodos is a ripoff of Call of Duty.
That's a legitimate comment.
So it's my favorite comment, and now I said that they have to call their game Call of Dodos.
I don't actually mind that one. That's not a bad suggestion.
I think it's good.
So yeah, and you know, I obviously like
you get like the environmentalist and whatever.
There's
all sorts of, but there are extinct.
Yeah, there's all sorts of comments that have been like pro PETA and anti PETA. Like it's turned into like this environmentalist debate.
Between
all the comments and stuff like that. But the interesting thing, and I think the thing that Spencer is probably trying to bring up this discussion in, you know, kind of bringing this idea up, is how do we take negative feedback and you know, what is it like to put something that you've created out for the public to review, and then how do you take what they have responded with, kind mm-hmm. of a thing.
That's why I segue into Troy, because he can read my mind.
Yes. So that's it. You know, along with those, you know, there have been plenty of comments, and in fact, the probably I would say the majority of them have been, oh, this looks interesting, this looks fun. Well, until the environmental stuff came in, I don't know how much percentage that has taken up now. But there's been a lot of, you know, this looks bad, the graphics are terrible, cell shading is hard to do right.
We just need to tighten up the graphics on level 3.
Okay, yes. You did it.
Are you guys about done in there? I actually almost went there for my undergrad. Well, not went there. Enrolled online there for my undergrad. Woodward. What was that?
It's like Woodward. Westwood,
yeah.
Sorry.
Good times. Anyway, sorry. but yeah, and so there's been a lot of that. An upvote. Some people are like, instant downvote.
Yeah.
With little to no explanation. And, you know, one of those things where your first reaction is like, they don't understand, like, the process at all. Or, I can't believe that people would be so cruel. And, hey, but I really like that guy. That guy knows what he's talking about. you know, like, what's your knee-jerk reaction to these things? And, you know, how do you kind of accept what the fact that it's a public, I don't know if art piece is the right word, but it's a public art piece now, and that's what happens. You put yourself out there and people will respond with their opinions, and especially when you put it out there on the internet, when mm-hmm. people will really respond with their
yeah.
opinions
yeah.
Unabashedly behind, you know, the veil of anonymity, right? So it's just one of those things that you want to sometimes jump in and you know, pull the Jonathan Blow with Braid thing where you respond to every comment. And, you know, I think he was honestly sincere. I don't think he was necessarily like trying to just simply be defensive a lot of the time. I think he was probably just like, look, like, no, maybe if you understood what I was getting at, or maybe if you looked at it this way, you'd see what was going on. Or maybe if you understood in our case that clearly the graphics aren't going to be up to the standard of a professional studio with 20 artists that are working for 8 hours a day. You know, we have 2 to 3 on a good day twice a week for 4 hours if we're lucky, right? And, you know, and you can pull out all these things and comments and whatever, but the bottom line is you put yourself out there and people will respond, and you got to take what they, you know, how they respond with, you know, with the best of intentions, you know, and your own intentions in regard to those comments, I think, as well. You know, understand what you can and cannot do, understand what you were or weren't going for, and, you know, make adjustments if you can, or if that's the point, or just simply let it be and accept the feedback as it is and move on and do better or change or don't in the future. And so it's always a very interesting process. I mean, like, along with this kind of comic I've been editing, we started another podcast actually several years ago that's been running. It's been a little bit thinner in its episode consistency over the past few months
plug
that I've
in.
Been
what
in
is
the
it?
That I've been in the oh, can I plug it?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Oh, dude, we're shameless pluggers.
It's called The Dark on City.
And Segwayers. Yeah, Segwayers.
Shameless pluggers.
Good heavens.
As they segue into Troy.
I got 2 good ones this week. I'm on a roll.
This isn't bad. This isn't bad.
Is this what I leave on the high note?
I'm not ashamed at all of this.
Anyway, go ahead.
But,
what are your podcasts?
So the podcast is called the Darkon City Awesome Comics Culture Podcast. Darkon is Darkhan. It's the name of the city in that this comic book that I edit takes place in. So it was originally based on, you know, kind of promoting the comic and what all the creators were doing and that sort of thing. And it turned into a far broader, you know, review of what to do for education if you're trying to break into the entertainment industry, and reviews of all the, you know, kinds of different entertainment media. And it's just super broad, and then us being super funny, obviously. I mean, if you're listening to this, you know that people like us are super funny.
But hilarious.
So, you know, the same type of deal. You know, we started that out, and surprisingly, like, we, you know, we started a mailbag, and we got all these people for that we'd never heard of that are like, oh my gosh, we love you. And then we get my brother that writes in. He's like, oh my gosh, I hate you. So we still have to, you know, take all that kind of stuff. It's the same type of deal. You know, you put yourself out there, and you make adjustments as you can, and otherwise, you know, you live and let be, live and let live, live and let die. I don't know what all these, but you just take it for what it's worth.
Live for your die hard.
And yeah, live for your die hard.
Sorry.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mother Russia.
What's so funny? That's what he says, isn't it?
Yeah,
I'm kidding. Okay, so I wanted to get Rachel's perspective on this because...
Well, I had a question real quick.
Oh.
Are you taking any comments from the green light seriously? I mean, has there been anything constructive on there?
Ooh, that's a good point.
To be honest, now that I'm thinking back on it, most of it has either been yay or nay. It hasn't really been like, oh, you should honestly try this technique or consider this in your design or anything like that. And that's... I think that's kind of how it's going to be with 95 at least percent of those types of comments from the public. It's, I hate it or I like it. Because most people honestly aren't trained to be critics for a lot of these types of things. But that would be interesting. I would actually, I should go back and look. It's been, I don't know, a number of hours. I suppose there could be more comments since the last time I checked. But you know, if that's like honest, like graphical issues and or complaints that they have, yeah, we certainly want to say, okay, this guy says these textures need to be cleaned up. That's something that we're working on already, or hey, he's got a good point. There are a few of those, but yeah, like I said before, most of it's
well,
yay
okay,
or boo.
So a producer from EA that's now employed here, Amy, she gave the three thesis games some feedback similar to this, and she. You know, and she told us in our meeting, I don't know if you were there when she critiqued ours, and she told us tons of things, and she's like, this needs to change, this needs to change. She didn't tell us what the specific problem was, because maybe she didn't know the technical scale, or it wasn't important. But she told us that if this was a real meeting, an executive producer would have said, your graphics aren't good. And that's all you go on.
Sure.
And you just go, oh, dang, what do we have to do to change the graphics, right? And you know, we're talking about someone that is running a studio,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
and that's about the only, either that's the time they have or that's all they know is something wrong with it. They can't articulate themselves and you have to go on that. And she was very generous for giving us that. And so that's what I thought was interesting with Cohort 3's reviews is they got much more in depth than you did, which is I hate dodos or I like dodos.
Yeah.
I'd have to talk with more of them, but I would almost just empathetically think that they it stung.
Sure.
It probably stung
sure.
a lot.
Yeah.
You know? And so Rachel, Miss Graphic Designer over here, how long have you done graphic design?
I've been doing it for about 10 years now.
Snap.
Oh, so just getting started.
Yeah, just getting started.
So you were telling me about disposable content, or
correct?
Disposable art.
I came across that term working in theater when I was 16, 17, because I worked summer theater in Ogden, and you know, with a lot of theatrical productions, especially musicals, you have these big, huge, grand set pieces, and they do cool things and look really good on stage, and they're up for 6 weeks and then you destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, you know, sad, but what else are you going to do? Because you need to reuse the wood for the next show or it won't fit anywhere or whatever. So somebody coined, or I heard that term thrown about in the shop one day, disposable art. And it kind of just stuck with me throughout my career as a graphic designer too. I think sometimes in my field and in other sort of art-based fields, people get really attached to an idea or to a concept or, you know, to a sketch or, you know, something like that without sort of understanding that it can just go away at any point in time. And I think it's kind of a detriment to sort of hold on to that as an artist. I mean, you certainly be passionate about what you do and certainly, you know, fight for what you believe in. Those are very important things too for artists, but, you know, be prepared to move on and to move on quickly if it comes to it. One thing that I've kind of noticed in this program, not uh-oh. Heavily.
But not sponsored by the U.
Not sponsored by the U. And this is just kind of across the board. I'm not picking on anybody, any particular cohort or anything like that. But some people are very attached to what they do. And I feel like especially in this industry, stuff happens so fast. It's a lot like graphic design where, you know, you put something on a box or you make a poster or something like that and you push it out to the media or you push it out to the public and you put it on the wall or whatever, and then it's gone the next day, you know? And that's just something that I've kind of, I'm used to it, you know? Like, I understand that it's, you know, it's kind of part of, like, your iterative process, I guess. You know, you have an idea, you put it on paper, and then in your next iteration, that thing may not be there. But you move on because that's what you had to do. So the whole concept of this disposable art is that, yes, you will make a great thing, and it will be perfect, and it will be wonderful, but it will be gone the next day. So you kind of have to understand that and be okay with it in order to make the next great thing. So that's just my piece.
Let's hear from some artists.
Ashley's probably better at this. But, yes, it's going to be the short answer, especially in Spencer's and I's thesis game.
Christian is on the same game I'm working on. And
how many versions? It's like four or five?
This is like version four, and it's not just, oh, it went from this to this. It went from, you know, zombie game to
gladiator
game to a zombie game to a raindrop game to a, I don't know what it is today.
Rain Man.
Dustin Hoffman drops off of a bridge. Dude, we're running with this.
Write that down.
Make me some more art, Christian. So, no, sorry, keep going.
No, well, I was just going to say, like, it's true, like, you know, especially in our thesis game where we've had to do some things and like, oh, well, never mind, we're going a different way. And, yeah, I mean, that's happened to me since my undergrad. Well, I did my undergrad here at the U as well, so I guess I've kind of gotten used to it by now.
Does it make you furious when you have to?
Sometimes. If I put a lot of time into something, then yeah.
Sure.
I'm not an artist, but like, so I grew up. I did my undergrad in film, and I worked on a lot of film sets and stuff. Everything that you do in film is disposable. Every single shot, every single. You know, you may spend an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, sometimes longer, setting up an entire elaborate lighting setup that's going to be used for less than 5 minutes. And then you tear the whole thing down. Like, and you put all this time, why was that worth it? Because we got the one shot that we needed. You know, and we got one take, done. Okay, tear it all down. We got 4 hours to tear it all down. We spent 8 hours to get one, you know, snippet of film. And so, like, I guess I was, when I first came in here, I was used to that kind of mentality. It's like, it's not good. Get rid of it. and that's really callous, but
I sort of went through all of this too. Well, so I come from a graphic design background. I went to undergrad for a graphic design, so everything I did was like could be thrown away. Like you always had to do all these multiple versions. You have to select one, do multiple versions of that, and so on and so forth. So I did that, but like I got into games, and it was like that times 10. So I came in here not knowing much about 3D. Art creation or anything. I knew nothing. I came in never touching Maya. So I learned everything on the fly. And when we started our alpha build for Zodiac, everything that we built for that is gone now.
Yep.
I rebuilt everything for our beta. So like, and even those I've disposed of and rebuilt again. So it's happened over and over again that everything's always changing. And something that I like, because of my bad modeling skills beforehand, modeling a character, which was this ox, took me a long time. And it's just gone now, like we're never going to use it again.
Well, you're not even using an ox in this version.
Yeah, so. We may put him in the background somewhere.
I don't know, he's pretty
cameos.
Strong. Cameos.
Yeah. Well, Easter eggs.
Funny enough, and this actually relates a little bit to the comment thing, is that like a lot of being in this industry is developing a thick skin. Yeah. Is going, you know what, they're not... As much as the attacks may seem personal, they're generally not. Yeah. They're talking about the work that you're doing. And if you can strip away your ego a little bit and go, okay, what is he trying to say to me? What can I actually get from this comment or whatever? Even the ones that are just like, immediate downvote. Okay, well, not really constructive, but...
But consider why they would say that.
Right. You know,
what am I missing?
You take some time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, okay, what could be construed as bad? What's good? You know, what? And then you learn. Like, you know, just like Ashley said, it's just you progress.
You progress
so
a lot.
There's the frame, there's the phrase, shoot the baby in the crib. Which I don't know who started.
Also
that.
Not sponsored by the U.
No, like that's supposedly a game industry term, is like shoot the baby in the crib, because you know if you don't kill it fast, you're gonna be stuck with an ugly baby, right? And,
God!
This is the worst.
I'm just quoting things! Not sponsored by the U. No, but, like, you know, I came from sculpture by fine art.
Family unofficial
I came from a
sculpture. We did have a game where you chucked babies.
Oh, yeah!
We need a link to that. Write that down.
Link to the baby throwing game.
Link to the baby throwing game.
Oh, my God. Who worked on that?
That was Jesse's game.
Jesse, oh, my gosh.
Should we get Jesse in to defend that one? He's
never going to live that one.
Wow.
You know, it wasn't an intentional, like, destroy the baby game. You were trying to get them to land in the soft spot. It's just that
there were
so many options to not land this baby.
If you failed, social services would come and put you away.
That was a really scary baby, though.
That was a really good looking baby.
What's funny is he owned that sucker. And I think that's probably part of this. I mean, if you just own what you're doing, and it's like, yeah, you know what? The art isn't up to par because we don't have the artist that we wish we had or whatever, but we're embracing what we, you know, we're doing the best with what we can. And, you know, and I think for student games, indie games, they forgive that stuff when there's this really cool mechanic, you know? It doesn't have to be magical in all the elements of a game. But mm-hmm.
Well, funny enough, like weird art styles and all those things, like, are part of the game. And so you look at, like, a Suda 51 game.
Yeah.
And they're just like, what the heck am I looking at? Like, what's going on? Like, I've been playing Shadows of the Damned recently. Just here and there, and like, man, that game just screws my head up. Yeah, like, there's totally. So many things, Lollipop Chainsaw and those kind of games. They're just like, whoa. And there's an audience for even a baby throwing game. Like, not a great audience. Like, that,
not one that I'd sit with
in an audience, you know, in a theater. With.
Actually, anyone that plays this game for longer than 5 minutes, cops are knocking at your door. That's how it's used.
Oh, gosh, it's terrible. Anyway, so that's.
Who's that guy that comes and he's like, come sit down and talk for a minute.
The
Chris Hansen?
Chris Hansen
comes at your door and you play that game.
To Catch a Predator.
What are we talking about? To Catch a Predator? To Catch the Catch a Predator guy? Like, anyway, sorry. It's
like player killers and player kill killers.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But to be a player
We should talk about that at one point. The killers and explorers and that whole system. I'd love to talk about that at some point.
Well,
I'll write that down for later. Sorry.
Adam's coming in next week, so we're going to.
Yes!
Maybe we can talk about that.
Oh, that'd be great.
Hunter. Adam Hunter from Smart Bomb. Yeah, he came and talked with us.
I love talking to Adam. He's great.
Yeah, he's fun.
He's funny.
So,
guy.
All right. I have a question. And I know my own answer to this, but I'm wondering if this is more of an issue that other people deal with, which is, if I know it's such an iterative process, and I know it's so that my whatever I'm going to make is so going to get thrown away so easily, I wonder sometimes if I'm giving it my all, and I go, I know this is going to get thrown away, so why try? Why not just give them a half-assed product? And I'm wondering, do other people feel that? Do you guys, as artists or creators or designers, feel that, or do you always give it full bore every time?
What if it isn't thrown away?
That's the bigger thing. My response.
Like, you can't just, like,
I guess, am I alone in that fear? Like, I think somewhere every now and then I have that notion.
It is always going to be thrown away.
I think if you look at it in, like, a global aspect, everything you do will be thrown away. Like, you're going to die someday. Right,
dude.
So, like,
thanks for raining on my parade.
Well, I hate to break this, but what I'm saying, I guess, is, like, you know, everything you do is disposable. So, like, why not make the biggest impact that you can right now? You know,
I'm gonna get out of bed.
I know, right? Yeah, it's just like I'm gonna hit all of it as hard as I can. Okay, that's gone. That's okay. I got something else to work on.
Well, here's
new opportunity.
Kind of my take. Yes, it's got to reach that point, but that I think is where, like, iteration comes in. Like, you do a whole bunch of stuff that you can do quick and dirty and lay it out in front of the people who make the decisions, the people who are going to care. Like for example, with the feedback that Amy told us they would get from their execs, art is bad, right?
Yeah,
okay?
The art is bad.
The art is bad. So at that point, you say 15 styles. Just roll out a character in 15 styles and say, which art out of these 15 styles is good? You know, just quick and dirty things. And then once your team picks, once whoever the executive or committee, you know, picks the style, then you iterate on that style. And so it's steadily, while you might be throwing away older versions, I think there is a process that gets you to the, now that I'm on the right path, now I can put my entire effort and my entire heart like into this thing and make it the best that it can be, with the least risk at this point. Like in the beginning stages, I think it's very dangerous to put your all into something that has never been looked at by another person and never been okayed by the ultimate, like your art director or your creative director, and say you're on the right path, because there's a darn good chance your first vision is not what theirs is.
Mm-hmm. I guess do other people have that sense of fear of failure, or do you need to get over that, or like what do you do when that happens, or does it happen?
Well, for people in the right career or in their right career path, I think the fear is sort of a motivator. You know, it's, you don't want to fail, so you're just going to do better, you know. And to go along with your question is, if you, why do it if it's just going to be thrown away? You know, for a lot of people, you know, that do what they love, you know, it's an opportunity. It's, you know, what Troy was saying, it's, you know, it's about process. It's about, you know, building up on something that you've already built on, even if it's going to be thrown away. You know, there's always, you know, you can get better, even if it's a dumb project, even if you don't want to do it. Even if you're afraid of doing it, whatever, like, you can always learn something from it. And if you don't understand that, then you're probably not doing what you should be doing. You're probably in the wrong career path, I think.
So do you think that that's a core skill that anyone needs to understand?
I think it's important to understand that about yourself. I think it's important to understand that that is part of what you are doing as an artist, as an engineer, as a producer, and to understand that you will not give up, that you are going to complete the project in some form. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect, doesn't have to be 100%, but it will still be done. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's an important thing to understand about yourself, I think, in my experience anyway.
I think it's also important to understand that, like, nothing that you do is wasted. Like, just because it didn't get used in this game or this project or whatever you're doing doesn't mean it's gone forever. Like, you still have it. Mm-hmm. And, like,
that
someday...
mean you didn't learn something. Or
yeah,
something.
Exactly. You may come back later. Like, well, that's it. I borrowed Spencer's phone real fast to look that up. Chris Sanders, he's an artist for Disney. I don't know, he may not be anymore, but he's a sketch artist for Disney for a long time. And all of his art had a very similar style to it, as you do. And eventually, like, he's the guy who created Lilo and Stitch.
Mm.
Specifically because somebody saw a little Stitch drawing that he'd created and they made an entire property out of it because it's like, oh, well, that's really interesting. Let's make a movie that looks like one of his drawings. So that's cool. And so, like, the number, like, you look at his iterations, the number of things that he did, none of his art ever ended up in a Disney feature until that point. And that was years and years and years of art and sketches and all these things and stuff. Finally, they're like, hey, we're going to use that.
Nightmare Before Christmas was made the same way.
Yeah, exactly. And you never know where your stuff is going to take you. So, like, I guess back to Spencer's original question, like, it's not going to be thrown away. Like, when you say something's thrown away, it's just put aside. It's there for later. It's part of your larger portfolio that maybe you don't share with everybody. You know?
I have a lot of things that I don't share with anybody else.
Segways.
Segways.
It's related to this.
Wow.
Well, I think that was interesting that Rachel also mentioned, you know, engineers and producers have to, because we've been talking a lot about this being an artistic process, but, and you know, it could be very different in other fields and other industries or whatever, but at least here in video games, from our experience, what little experience we have being students and all.
I have a lot of experience as a student.
Don't degrade your
experience. No, I'm not trying to do that. I'm just saying pros that listen to us, they're like, they don't know anything. Why are they doing a podcast? But
you guys are making all the cool games.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a learning opportunity.
No, but, I mean, for example, I am not a programmer per se, but I've tooled around enough and, like, worked my way through several little game projects, and I'm programming a game right now that's a platformer, and I have worked with probably 5 or 6 different, I don't know if physics engines is the right way to say it, but kind of methods of moving the character around in a platformer. And with each one, I'm like, that was a sucky job programming that. Or I really like that, so I'll kind of hang on to that, but I'm going to change and I'm going to cut out some of these lines of code and kind of, I'll cut out this momentum. I'll cut out, you know, this, you know, function of gravity here, and I'll drop some of these in and stuff like that until it feels right. Mm-hmm. Right. The whole process. Well, I probably ended up with at the iteration that I'm on right now is probably 1 to 2% what I did in my first build that I programmed, right? And it, all of that is just simply get characters to jump onto platforms, and how does that feel? And so that's been, you know, an interesting process, you know, kind of undertaking it from that angle too. Same type of deal. And maybe it's easier, maybe it feels less attached than an art project would to the artist, because you're not like, I don't know, maybe the emotion is kind of, you know, separated from that, just because it's numbers and letters and, you know, green lines versus yellow lines and whatever. But it's the same type of deal, where you just can't get attached to what you've done and just keep working until it gets better and feels like it needs to feel for the audience that you're making it for. In this case, it's me, so I can make decisions.
So, thanks, Troy. I think Troy just has been required.
He's been summoned. Thanks, Troy, for coming on, though.
Thank you.
Hope you, if you have time, come on back.
I will. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. I was looking around the room. Sorry to completely off topic, but I was looking around as Troy was talking, and I'm the only one not wearing glasses.
Ha.
Even Troy was wearing glasses.
So you're not one of the cool kids, Brandon.
That was just random. Sorry.
Did she see you just email me?
Oh, no, it's about something else. Rachel's boss, which we love dearly, just pulled Troy away, and then I see an email from her, and I'm like, did she just email me because she didn't want to come in here?
And it's all important, I promise.
Yeah. It always.
Oh, well, actually, no, that email is important. Tomorrow we have somebody coming in.
Oh my!
Not to the podcast. Sorry.
I don't know who set this up.
Unfortunately,
yeah, that would have been fun, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Totally. Oh, dude.
Right?
You think we should?
She's doing Radio West. Sorry.
Yeah.
Dang it. A podcast way more important than yours.
Ouch! Did you hear that?
Sorry. Have you met Doug Fabrizio?
I'll tell you.
I love Doug. Listen to. I guess I didn't know she was going to be.
Yeah, she's on Radio West
tonight.
Tomorrow? No, tomorrow. Oh, right after her lecture. And then she's going away.
Oh, man.
I know, it's sad.
Okay, so who we're talking about is...
our mystery guest.
Miss Jane McGonigal. She is absolutely brilliant.
Game scholar. If you haven't yet, pick up her book, Reality is Broken. Mm-hmm. It's
very good.
Really fantastic. She has, two TED Talks available?
Two?
Yeah.
Well, two.
She may have a couple more, to be honest.
Yeah.
I've seen two.
I've seen two of them. She might have a couple more. She's been on The Daily Show. She's been on Colbert.
Hair is, like, magical. I'm just going to put it out there. Like, those curls are crazy awesome.
That's so funny. You know, I've...
ignoring that, aren't you?
No. I just find this fascinating. In reference to Jane McGonigal, whenever I hear men talk about her, it's always, oh, she's a wonderful game scholar, and she's a wonderful person, and she's really, really nice. Have you seen her hair? Have you seen her hair? And, you know, women talk about her, and she's like, yeah, she's great. She's a super good game scholar. She's one of the only women in the industry, or in that arena right now. She has really interesting things to say, blah, 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 blah. Nothing about her hair.
Is it because you're jealous? Is that why?
No, I just, I think... I might be speaking out of gender here, but I
used to hair by now.
Yeah, we're used to seeing each other's hair.
Are you representing?
No, I absolutely am not. For the third time, my views do not represent the University of Utah.
When you have to spend like 45 minutes doing your hair every morning, I think you care less and less about everyone else's hair.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Plus, you know, we're not.
I started making games. Her hair's fabulous, but mine takes about 45 minutes.
As I start making games and understanding the blood, sweat, and tears, I appreciate other games differently, and so I would have thought you'd go.
I think part of it's like, like when you were growing up, you had your car, you know, and it was your car, like when you were in high school, yeah. And like you spend all your time cleaning it, waxing it, whatever, and you go out, you don't care about the other guy's car because your car's awesome. You know what I mean? That's a nice car, but this is
welcome to guys trying to understand girls. We suck at this.
Is this like a section of your podcast generally?
we usually get on the gender topic.
Yeah, and in gender topics.
By the way, boobs.
By the way.
Excuse me, that is so inappropriate.
What's the deal with those?
Anyway. I don't understand.
But we should probably talk about a little bit Jane McGonigal's, like who she does. Is she a doctor?
Dude, can I say, is that sexist to say Dr. McGonigal sounds really cool?
No, it just sounds really cool.
It doesn't sound really cool. It does sound really cool.
I don't know. I'm just trying to point things out about
her.
I think you're neat. And sorry I pointed out her hair.
No. I'm not saying it's bad. I just think it's interesting because Roger talks about it all the time.
It's just a guy thing.
Yeah. Maybe.
It's a little high.
Anyways, Jay McGonigal, Reality's Broken. The book documents, I've yet to read it.
Oh, really? Me. Yeah, I now.
Are you? I need to get
it's
it.
It's interesting stuff.
But she basically documents her events of having a head injury and the recovery process from that. And the thing that helped her through that was basically gamifying her life and, like, turning everyone into NPCs, like a... And they would give her quests, and mm-hmm. she, you know, and so she found herself scoring, and by her reporting to these NPCs and these quests, she was basically telling her therapeutic recovery to them, and so by using the world around them in a social support system in the real world, she gamified her, you know, her experience, and has recovered fully, and is now successfully riding Ferris wheels. Since last GDC. That was one of her big fears. Like, for, I don't know if it was before or after, but definitely after she had this big fear. And so after her talk, she's talking about her book and this all experience, and she said she's more morbidly afraid of Ferris wheels, and there's one right across the street from the GDC hall. And so she said, anyone is invited, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, I'm going to ride the Ferris wheel. And so a couple of our graduate students went down and got to ride with her.
Nice.
And it's super exciting, and she's definitely become the face of what gamification is. And Ian Bogost, I gotta mention this because I love this article that he wrote about 6 months ago called Why Gamification is Bullshit. And he talks about, you know, and this was 2008 when she started using the word gamification. And Jesse Schell was toying around with the notion, maybe not the coining the word as well as she did, but, you know, it's been around for, 5 years? And Ian Bogost kind of laments on how everyone is just like, oh, you know what? I'm going to make a new product, and I need to slap some paint on it, and I need to slap some gamification on it.
Buzzword,
you know?
buzzwords.
and he laments, and he's like, you guys have just totally ruined this word. And
it's kind of a hipster attitude, I feel.
Well, here's interesting. Reading a report from Procter & Gamble just this week, and they lament about it. And they said, it's not gamification, it's game mechanics. He says, slapping... They were basically saying... Game mechanics needs to be the new thing, because that's legitimately what it really is. We're actually applying game mechanics to other fields that can benefit from them. You know, gamifying it just is so vaporous. Well, anyways, I mean, it just sounds like nothing.
Go to gamify.
Yeah.
Again, it's the buzzword problem, right? Versus the actual application of that. The mechanic, you know, and the problem with changing the verbiage about it is that you'll still get the same crap product on some cases.
Oh, you totally will.
But they're still saying, oh, we're using game mechanics
you
with
totally
our
will.
Special app about, you know, ingesting pixie sticks.
I think part of it is the...
you can't use that. It's mine.
We should do it.
I copyright everything on this podcast.
But I think gamification, part of it is the... Like, people who don't understand how games are made, how things, they don't have a respect for it anyway. You know, we have the same,
which comes back to the original.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, they don't understand it, so therefore it is it's just a word to them. You know, it's just, but we make fun of the, you know, we need to tweak the art on level 3.
Yeah.
Okay. But the fact is, there's so many, because we understand all the processes involved in that one little, you know, phrase, it's funny. But anyone else, honestly, people who have no idea about games, watch that commercial and go, oh, yeah.
That's a technical term.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Because an uneducated...
In plebeian.
a mind who hasn't been educated in an industry mm-hmm. doesn't see the same things. Like, it used to drive me crazy. When you watch a movie, you watch watch a TV show and a doctor TV show, or you watch miners in a movie, or you watch all these different industries, mm-hmm. and you have somebody who's actually a pro in industry is just going, "Oh my gosh, you guys, this is not right. This is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong." And you know, it's the same thing with us, game dev. You sit there, I understand the point of the background. Therefore, I'm much more judgmental, and so gamifying. It is a buzzword because it attracts, obviously there's money in gamification. Mm-hmm. So therefore it draws people, and those people may not be gamers or game developers. So because of that, explaining these kind of things in smaller, simpler terms, I think is stronger than just deriding the whole thing in general.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, agreed. Gamification is awful. No, it's not. The principle's fine. Let's simplify it. Say, you have to give respect to what I'm doing because I respect what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's the internet.
Well, so, okay, well, that's
this,
the
this
thing.
Is the question. And that's an overarching term too.
Yeah,
you're applying
stop,
to
stop
the
oversimplifying the internet.
Excuse me, the internets.
all of them.
All the Twitters. So let's end on this question, and then we've got to wrap this up. But is Steamlight
green light?
Green light.
Steamlight. is Steam's green light?
TM.
a viable source of finding the best games that we can. I mean, is it a good solution to sifting through the best games and finding the best games?
I 100% think so. There needs to be some retooling in how the community votes and reacts to certain games. With Dodos, there's been a lot of comments about how it's a student game and is therefore not worthy of Steam. I think that's complete BS.
Another one was Tower Defense. They said, I'm not
downvote
because it's a Tower Defense
game.
No
kidding. It's
well, most people don't even read, and they're saying, I'm not going to pay $5 for this. But I was like, it's free to play.
Yeah, free to play right at the top.
Like, yeah. But so, people just don't read. They just look at it, and they're like, no.
So, because I guess I've heard this grief from developers in the past, which is the audience doesn't know what they want. That makes sense. That
that's more true than you think.
Well, and but Greenlight is totally telling you that the audience knows what they want, and they're gonna and we're
the
gonna
audience
let them
thinks
decide.
It knows what it wants. What it wants. So
right,
the,
but that's the thing is like they're saying, you know, and we obviously we don't know the secret message or secret recipe in the background with what Valve's doing, but it's obviously heavily influenced by the decisions of kids that are 15 years old that don't want to play. You know, we obviously found out their demographic because they don't like student games, they don't like Tower Defense, and they don't like, for some reason, they're pro PETA all of a sudden. You know, I mean, like,
it's because it's cool.
Yeah, I guess. Hipsters. So.
Well, I think the great conflict with Greenlight versus actual Steam is the community is all, oh, indie games, oh, student games, oh, this game looks like, you know, crap. But if you look at the Steam catalog and their most popular games, a lot of them are indie.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
and
a ton of them are.
Most of them, you know, like my catalog on Steam is like 90% indie games. You know, I have like maybe 3 AAA titles. But, you know, so the community, they know what Steam is about. And, you know, when the Steam sales go on, everybody buys everything like crazy, mm-hmm. indie or not.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think...
Well,
oh,
it's only $3?
Like,
awesome.
I appreciate Super Hexagon, but I guess I don't understand it.
I don't like that game at all.
Because I played it for about 30 seconds and I'm like,
it's
I got
frustrating.
It.
It's frustrating.
That's
my
it's
problem.
It's like, I got it. This ain't for me. You know, and I'm absolutely stunned that, you know, I love Terry Cavanaugh. He just puts out really thoughtful games, and it's so amazing how simple that stupid game is. It's just like, you know, everyone in the room should have been saying, why didn't I think of that? I could have done that in a couple hours, you know? But he, I don't know, like, it's totally counterintuitive because he, I believe, got that one greenlit. I don't know, like, if you...
I thought it was a mobile game first.
I think it's a
mobile
game.
Well, I know it was a mobile game, but it's recently on Steam. And I think
but
was
it on Greenlight or was it just?
I don't know.
I think
I know there's a lot
publishing.
Of Greenlight games that are just like way indie, way. You know,
I feel like the Greenlight is actually a second step a lot of times. Like it's a way to do it for sure. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, you could publish your stuff on Android and have it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It's up. It's there. It's
or
available. Or Desura. Or there's plenty of platforms you could just go. Okay, it's there. Steam. What you're doing, and I understand why they do this because they're vetting a game before they decide to put money in marketing behind it. Say, because like you know they have bandwidth, they have their own things. This game is going to supplant another game on our catalog somewhere. So do we have to justify ourselves and say yes, it's worthwhile?
Yeah.
You know, a certain number of people have expressed interest in it. Okay, yeah, we can afford this. Whereas something like when it's on a mobile, there's the mobile Android list can go forever.
See, yeah. and that like that's what you're buying really with Greenlight is you're buying access to have Steam on your
exactly
you're buying backing by Steam.
Yeah, exactly. I mean the fact if I say my game is on Android, you have one impression. My game's on iOS, my game's on Desura, my game's on Steam, and as soon as you say that, you go, oh mm-hmm. shit, really? And you're like, oh yeah, and you can get it on iOS and Android too. And they go, cool,
okay, awesome.
You know, I'll go get it.
Suddenly, I'll go get an Android because it was on Steam.
Exactly,
like it's
like that. That definitely like extends beyond platforms, and that's something that Steam just Valve just does phenomenally.
Well, you're buying gaming capital.
Right.
You know?
You really are.
That's all. That's what you're doing. And so, like, I completely respect them for and understand why they do it.
Yeah. I guess sometimes I just go, oh, these are the people that are deciding which games get greenlit. You know, when I read the criticism, because, you know, it's funny. I'm not on the Dodo's team. I've seen their development.
Call of Duty.
Yeah, but every now and then I go, I want to defend them. I know what they've been doing. That's so unfair for you guys to say this, you know, just because I'm a friend of the developer. And I just go,
that can almost hurt more than it.
Well, that, which I'm wisely not saying anything, but I'm having those emotions. And I just go, no, you guys are freaking idiots. Why are you deciding what games get greenlit? You know, this is...
Well, see, that's where the flaw in the system is. You know, if they want Steam to, like, really, really work, they need a little bit of critical analysis with the games, mm-hmm. I think. Get some developers in there to yay or nay the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't depend solely on the community because...
Would, just throwing out ideas, would creating a credibility score within the
users... I think
users,
that would be difficult.
I know. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but do you think that would resolve the issue? Somehow either...
No, because I think, you know, especially if it's like, you know, X is... So-and-so has played this many games for this many hours. His mm-hmm. credibility is now at 3 stars as opposed to 2 stars.
Yeah, this many
is
a lot of games, therefore...
Isn't that what Xbox is? Xbox Live?
That's what Xbox Live is, but they're not dictating... Yeah,
right, no,
plus you know, you can play a lot of games. I know a lot of people that play a lot of games, but then can they critically analyze that game?
No. Do they understand it?
They're just like, I like Call of Duty, blam, 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 you know? Yeah. It's like, I've played 60 hours.
I think we're in a crucial point, like, right now. Like, you know, I keep on going back to film because that's where my background is, but, like, in the film industry, you know, like, in the early times, the fact that they were talking was a big deal. You know,
you mean with sound?
Jazz singer. Oh, we can. It's a talkie.
Yeah.
You know, we're
it'll
in color now. You know, yeah, it'll never take. It's never gonna go anywhere. You know, subtitles all the way. But like the thing is, we're still a growing industry. Like what, almost 30, about 30 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, ish in the actual industry. So like, I think in a few years, you know, you get that critical analysis. You do have that. We have the beginnings of that. But the mass consumer base for games. Isn't educated, doesn't want to be.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care. Is it fun? It's fun. I'll play it.
Well,
I mean,
that's the same way with movies. What's the Rotten Tomatoes?
But everyone in with a movie can tell you why they didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not everyone in the game can tell you.
So your sale is ugly.
So over generations of time,
yeah.
the masses have been educated on what's good and what's not.
You know, they may not go as, like, a friend of mine makes fun of me, because I analyze films all the time.
Oh, my wife hates it when I go to the
movie. Like, she makes fun of me. It's like, oh, is the lighting bad? It's like, well, sometimes. There's this whole scene in Django. I don't know if you guys seen Django yet, but if you ever watch the fireside scene, he's lit from the front and the back.
What is that?
Okay, and I was like, where is the other fire coming from?
He actually was telling me. I never would have noticed, but he sat there and he's all like, his face shouldn't be lit up right now, but it is. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're so right.
But you don't notice.
My world is now turned upside down.
I get in trouble for this kind of thing sometimes. But I think in the same way, you know, games, right now, we're still in the beginning stages. I think as time goes on, more and more people will go, I don't like this because of this and this and this.
And instead of just saying...
Instead of downvote
boobs, you know. No one said boobs yet on the...
Amazing. There's so many in Dota.
Awesome. I'm so doing that right now.
Oh, gosh.
I gotta go. All right. Well, let's wrap this up. Thanks for your... I thank Troy, but he's gone. Sure. But
I can definitely thank
Rachel for coming and jamming with us for a little bit.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Yeah. So maybe
it's nice to have another female voice and one that probably talks a lot more than I do.
I know. It is nice. We need to have more of the women so that they can correct us on why Jane McGonigal's hair is not important.
That is a common topic every week.
I was commenting on it.
Yeah. I know. It's interesting. I know what you women wiles have going on over there. You use your secret messages. I have no idea what I'm saying. I'm done.
What am I trying to get you to do? Because it sure as crap isn't the dishes. Next up on Game Dev Podcast, how not to be a sexist weirdo.
Oh, that's terrible.
Not condoned by the University of Utah. I'm so ready for that podcast.
I have many stories.
Just because we're listening to it or watching it this week, whose line is coming back?
Oh my gosh.
Aisha Tyler. Isn't that interesting?
Is I don't know her. Is she a
comedian? She's a comedian. Okay. You probably don't watch Archer, but she's Lana on Archer. Mm-hmm. and man, she is funny.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's a
great
choice.
That show's going to get a lot raunchier, by the way, I think, with her as the host.
Oh, you think?
Okay. Well, I think still not like raunchy for network TV.
I think it already was pretty.
Like, it's still pretty raunchy, but like.
I love it.
It's, like, it's kind of PG raunchy. This like, is going to eke into PG-13 territory, I feel.
But think of Bob Saget. Like, I remember. Not
yeah, there's a reason he's not on TV anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but
he was good.
Well, but he was a really raunchy stand-up comedian.
He is a really raunchy stand-up.
Still,
oh yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like his on TV face.
Well,
was
he's on How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, is he?
Oh, is
he? He's the narrator in the very beginning.
Oh, funny.
Well, that's about all that the work he can get now.
Well.
Full House. I mean, what do you do after that?
You become a very vile stand-up comedian. Like, my tolerance is pretty high, and he says some stuff, and I'm like, oh my god, I have to stop watching this right now.
Let me tell you about those twins. No.
Oh my gosh.
He does go there.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, look it up.
I don't think we need to.
Anyway, right. So I'm not going to link to that one. By the way, I'm not looking.
You have Google.
You don't need
it.
At your own discretion.
So,
not safe for
like,
work.
Total kudos to Karate for doing our website if you haven't seen it.
Yay!
It's
at
gamedevconfess.com. It's super pretty. The show notes that Karate did last week are like the coolest improvement, and I've yet to tell you thank you to that.
No problem.
I was like, man, I should do that kind of stuff. I just need a Karate. So you can hit us up on Twitter. We'd love to hear back from you guys at gamedevconfess.com. I wanted to say .com, but it's just at gamedevconfess. Facebook.com/gamedevconfess.
And gamedevconfess@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah, and email us, too. I don't even know why we have the Facebook page.
That's why.
Because it exists, and therefore it's needed.
I know. Facebook.
I want to talk about Facebook at some point because I have some stuff, but like not this week.
You little rascal. So next week, Adam Hunter is going to come down and... hipstered out with us.
It's awesome. I hope he wears a tie.
He's the epitome of hipster. Or at least we keep
claiming
we called him a hipster over and over again, and he's really not a hipster.
He's not at all. He's the epitome of hipster.
We had such a great conversation with him.
He's so not hipster that he's hipster.
He likes text-based Angry Birds.
He plays text-based Pong. Like, he's just, you know... Before it was popular. Analog. Not even digital. He's just like writing it out.
I played Pong when it was a paddle. The paddle's in a ball.
Up. Down. Up. Quick down. 1 point.
Enter.
But he's so hipster, he never finishes a game. Because winning or losing is just not the point.
But he could have
existed in a game. He could have wanted to.
Okay, Adam's going to kill us.
You got to put this in the show notes. Hipster Olympics. You guys ever seen this?
No.
Okay, we're all going... He's going to put it in the show notes, but we're all going to go watch this after the podcast because it is the best, like...
Please tell me there's like coffee drinking, mustache growing, and tight jeans wearing.
Tight jean wearing. There's a it's like a marathon that they have to run through and do all these different activities. Yeah. One of them is you have to take your best Facebook photo, and someone gets stuck there taking too many photos and gets distracted, and there's illegal use of illegal substances. But they're totally legal in the hipster Olympics. And
nice.
So I think there's something about coffee. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Super.
All right, let's wrap this sucker up.
Thanks for listening. We love your feedback. And
please comment.
Please comment. Have a good day. Bye.
Yeah, you said it, EDU.
Oh, woo-hoo! Gosh.
It's in there.
There's shameless plugging, and then there's shameless plugging.
We need artists!
You cross the line.
We need artists!
You cross the line.
Submit your portfolios! Yeah, you know, you're totally EDU. Come see us at GDC. Hashtag desperate.